All right. You have your study notes. We're going to continue our discussion on the subject of hell. We spent 10 weeks talking about heaven, and now looking at the other side. And we noted last time that, as amazing as it may seem, there are some so-called Christians who deny the biblical doctrine of hell. In fact, there are four main beliefs that are held in various circles, and I'll mention these to you just so you will be aware of them and know what they are. First of all, there are those who believe, number one, in conditional immortality. They believe in conditional immortality. In other words, what they believe is that those who receive Christ as their Savior will spend all of eternity in heaven, but those who do not receive everlasting life, because they are spiritually dead, they're only a physical being, and therefore they will die like the animals die, and that's the end of them. And so that's a conditional immortality. Conditional immortality. Then there are those who believe in, we mentioned before, but they believe in a universal salvation. They believe in a universal salvation. This theory holds the idea of a universal redemption. And since Jesus Christ died for all men alike, then they say that all men will be saved. That all men will be saved. And so since all men will be saved, then there's no need to worry about hell. Hell is for the devil and his angels, but no men will be there. Universal salvation. Then there's a third idea that is being taught in some circles, and that is universal restoration. Universal restoration. This is actually an extreme form of universalism or universal salvation. This universal restoration it teaches that all men are eventually going to be saved, but it even goes beyond that, and it states that all of creation, including Satan and all the fallen angels, are also going to be restored to their original position. And so that's a universal restoration. And then there are those who teach a total annihilationism. A total annihilationism. This teaching states that the sufferings of hell are only temporary. In other words, if you die without Christ, you will go to hell. But as soon as you get there, you're going to burn up, you'll be annihilated, that's the end of you, you no longer exist, and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. The reason for these false ideas, and by the way, all four of those things that I've just mentioned are totally false. But the reason for these false ideas is simply because the thought of an eternal retribution. The thought of an eternal retribution is something that the human mind naturally rebels against. The thought of eternal retribution, it is something that we don't want to accept. We don't want to believe it. Don't want to accept it. Don't want to believe it. In fact, to be totally honest with you, I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so. I wish Rob Bell Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. In his book, here's what he said. He said, a staggering number of people have been taught that a select few Christians will spend forever in a peaceful, joyous place called heaven, while the rest of humanity spends forever in torment and punishment in hell with no chance of anything better. And then he said this. He said, this is misguided and toxic and ultimately subverts the contagious spread of Jesus' message of love, peace, forgiveness, and joy that our world desperately needs to hear. It's toxic, he said. It's misguided, he said. In fact, he went on in another few paragraphs later, he makes this statement. He said, the doctrine of hell is not only unbiblical. I don't know what Bible he's using, but anyway, he said, the doctrine of hell is not only unbiblical, it is also completely absurd, illogical, and nonsensical. Sure. I wish that Rob Bell were not a false teacher. I wish that Rob Bell was telling the truth. However, the truth is, Rob Bell is a false teacher. Because according to the clear statements of Scripture, hell is a real, literal, eternal place. In our study together last time, you remember we began by noticing, number one, the names of hell. The names of hell. We looked at the words that are translated hell in the Bible, you remember. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Sheol. And we saw how that the word is actually used to give a progressive revelation. Starts out very general, but then it gives a progressive revelation concerning the eternal destiny of those who do not believe, who do not obey the Lord God. You remember we saw Sheol. It started out as being translated the grave. The grave. In other words, it is a place of death. That's what we know. It's a place of death. But then we go a little bit further in the Scriptures. We find the word is then translated pit. And we saw that it is a place of judgment. And then we went a little further and we saw the word is then translated, it is translated hell, a place of burning fire. And so we saw the name in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we saw that there are two Greek words that are used. The first, you remember, was the word Hades, like the Hebrew word Sheol. This word carries the idea of a place of death. It speaks of physical death in that it is a grave for the body. However, the majority of times that the word is used in the New Testament, it is translated as hell or a place of spiritual death. A place of spiritual death. A place of torment for the soul and the body. And then we saw the other word that is used in the New Testament is Gehenna. And this was a place just outside the city of Jerusalem that was known by everyone in Jesus' day as a place of filth, a place of corruption, a place of continual burning. A place of continual burning. Then we talked about not only the names of hell, but we also saw the location. The location. And we saw that it is down, right? It is down. In fact, it is in the center of the earth, from what we saw from the Scriptures. We all know that the surface of the sun is hot, right? Surface of the sun is hot. In fact, it is said to be over 5,500 degrees Celsius, the surface of the sun. That's a almost how hot it was today. I came across an article by Alex Knapp. He writes for Forbes, and on the 28th of April of this year, according to new technology, X-ray technology that they are now using, it has been discovered that the center of the Earth is actually much hotter than the sun. The center of the Earth, it's actually hotter than the sun. In fact, it is over 1,000 degrees hotter than was previously believed. Terrible, terrible thought, isn't it? Terrible thought. Now let's continue. I want us to notice number 3, the entrance into hell. The entrance to hell. By this I mean, how do men go there? How do men go there? And I believe it's very similar to the way that men go to heaven. I believe it's very similar to the way that men go to heaven. Turn with me to the passage. We're going to be looking at it quite often over the next couple of weeks. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and let's notice from this story that Jesus told some simple statements concerning the death of two men. Now you'll notice I said a story that Jesus told. I did not use the word parable, simply because I don't believe this is a parable. Doesn't fit any of the marks of a parable. This was actually a literal story that Jesus told of two men who literally lived and who literally died. One of them went to a literal place called paradise. The other went to a literal place of torment called hell. And so as we look at these two men, I want us to notice their death. And I want us to notice, first of all, the death of a believer. The death of a believer. Now, we mentioned this a little bit in our discussion of heaven several weeks ago, but let's look at it again. Luke chapter 16, verse number 22, the Bible says, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Carried by the angels. Even though the beggar in the story that Jesus told was physically poor, yet he was spiritually rich. He was spiritually rich because he had believed in the Lord God at the moment of death when he had gasped his last breath and his eyes had closed in death. The angels of God escorted him, carried him to that place called paradise. Carried him to that place called paradise. And as we talked about before, you remember, no man could enter into heaven itself until after Jesus Christ had died, until after he had made a perfect atonement for the sins of all mankind. But as an Old Testament saint, because of his faith in the Lord, this man was transported by angels to that place called paradise. This is the same thing the Apostle Paul spoke of. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, where he says, "We are absent from the body, present with the Lord." Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But it's not a trip that we make alone. It's not a trip that we make alone. I believe that at the very moment that our eyes close in death, that guardian angel that we talked about a couple of weeks ago who encamps around those who love the Lord, that guardian angel will fulfill his last duty for you. And he will escort you into the presence of your Savior. That's the death of the saint. That's the death of the believer. Then I want you to notice the death of an unbeliever. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 22, the last part of the verse, and then the beginning of verse number 23. He says, "And the rich man also died. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." I believe that just as the angels of God escort the believers who die in Christ, just as those angels of God escort them into the presence of God, I believe when the unbeliever dies that the demons of hell will escort them to the pit, to the place of torment. That is one reason why when you read testimonies, usually from olden times, the reason you don't read much of it today is most people who are unsaved, when they die, are medicated out of their minds. But you read some of the old testimonies when men came to the time of death and they spoke about seeing things that were terrifying. And I think that's what they were talking about. No way that we can imagine the terror that must fill the hearts of those who come to the point of death without Christ. To come to that moment without an assurance of a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ. What a terrible thing that is. And they take their last breath and they find themselves surrounded by evil spirits who are escorting them to that place reserved for the damned. The entrance to hell. I want you to notice number four, the population of hell. I'm not talking about how many people are there. Rather, I'm speaking of what type of people and what type of spirits are there. And so let's take these together. Let's notice first of all the spirits. And we need to remember that Lucifer, also known as the devil, Satan, and most of those demonic creatures that followed him and his attempted rebellion against God, Isaiah chapter 14 tells us about it. But we need to remember that they are not in hell right now. Rather, they are free to roam this earth. That's why the demons in Matthew chapter 8 verse number 29, when Jesus cast the demons out of that man, and as Jesus came and began to talk with him, you remember the demons said to Jesus, they cried out saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" It's not time for us to be cast into hell yet. Have you come to torment us before that time comes? In other words, those demons were free to move and to operate in this world. They work even tonight. There is a great unseen spiritual battle that goes on all around us all the time. And it's the forces of God and the forces of Satan that are at battle with one another. And so these demons are free. They are free to operate in this world in which we live. And it's not for those demons at that time. It was not for them to be cast into hell. That time will come later. John talks about it in the book of Revelation. That's why Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, said, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion is locked up in hell." Right? No. No, your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. very much active in our world today. Very much active in our world today. However, having said that, there is a special class of demons. There is a special class of demonic spirits who are today imprisoned in the deepest dungeons of hell. We find them mentioned in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 6. In Jude chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." So there are some angels that did not keep their first estate. In other words, they did not stay in the place where they were created to be. They left the habitation that God ordained for them. These were Genesis chapter 6. These were those sons of God who cohabited with women, sought to live like men among men, and as a result of it, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And it was a result of these demonic spirits who did not keep their place, interacting with men, which caused such a rebellion against God, that God determined that all of mankind, except for one family, Noah, found grace in the eyes of God. And Noah and his family were spared, but all the rest of the world was destroyed in a flood. Demons are spirit beings. Flood had no impact on them. Flood was not a judgment for them. And therefore, for those demonic beings, the Bible says that God chained them and has put them in this place of darkness where they are being kept until the day of judgment. Those spiritual beings will one day be let loose during the Great Tribulation. And that's a whole other story in itself. But right now, they are imprisoned in hell. The people. We know that God, according to Matthew 25, verse 41, God did not create hell for people. He did not create hell for people. He created hell for the devil and for his angels. However, listen very carefully. Just as those who follow Jesus Christ will have a home in God's heaven, those who reject Jesus Christ and follow Satan will have a home in his place. That makes sense, doesn't it? That makes sense. That is the issue. What a man does with Jesus Christ, that is the issue. And therefore, understanding that point reveals to us that heaven will be the home, first of all, of the wicked. It's going to be the home of the wicked. When I think of wicked, I think of several different things. I think, first of all, of the murderers. The murderers. Those who kill other people. I think of religious murderers. Religious murderers. I'm talking about people like the popes of Rome and the Islamic fundamentalist and other people who will who will kill others in the name of their God. And they take the lives of other people. Religious murderers. Think about political murderers. Political murderers. Men like Pontius Pilate, who said, "I find no fault in him," and yet then said, "Take him away and crucify him." In fact, if we could walk through hell, I think we might see one figure over at the side still trying to wash the blood of the innocent man off of his hands. Pontius Pilate. Think of fellows like Nero, Adolf Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Kim Il-sung. List goes on and on and on. Religious or political murderers who murdered multiplied millions of people to press their political agenda. I think about common murderers. Common murderers. People like Richard Speck. In July of 1966, killed 8 nurses in one night just for the fun of it, for the thrill of it. Just common, common murderers. When I think about the wicked people that are going to be in hell, I think about the murderers. I also think about the predators. The predators. I'm talking about those sexual predators who destroy the lives of others in order to satisfy their own wicked lust. They're predators. I think about the unjust. Those who exalt themselves at the expense of the poor. They exalt themselves at the expense of the weak. They build themselves up by trampling down others and doing all kinds of injustice. Yeah, they're going to be there. I think about the religious. Those false teachers is who I'm talking about. Those false teachers who have perverted the Word of God, and instead of bringing people to God, they have actually led people away from God. In fact, that was the very crowd that Jesus was talking about, is it not? Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 23, the Lord said that in the day of judgment, He said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we have done many wonderful works.'" Well, we've got our collar on backwards and we look so holy and we've done all these wonderful things. And the Lord said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." He did not say, "I used to know you, and then you sinned and you lost it." You know, no. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you." And the list goes on and on, doesn't it? Wicked people. Wicked people. Hell will be populated by those who are really wicked, but here's the greater tragedy. I mean, you know, we hear about the murderers and the predators and the unjust and these false teachers, and yeah, they're going to go to hell. Amen. Yes, they deserve that, right? But the sad thing is that the majority of people in hell will not be those who are what we would call really, really wicked people. The sad fact is the majority of people in hell are going to be those that we would call good. good people. I'm talking about those people who they're honest in their business. They're people who keep their word. When they when they tell you, I'm going to do something, you can count on them. They'll do it. They'll do it. I'm talking about people that are always so kind and gracious and helpful to the needy, right? So generous in helping those who are in need. I'm talking about those who are loved and greatly appreciated and highly honored by their families and by their friends. They're just good people. And yet, in spite of all their goodness, folks, in spite of all their goodness, they're going to end up in hell. Because when we say that they are good, you have to remember, when we say that they are good, we are saying that based on our own estimation of what is good. Right? That's our judgment. That is a good person. What am I basing that on? Well, I'm basing it on what I think a good person is. Now, your opinion may be different. And you can be wrong if you want to. My opinion is the best, right? Say yes. No, I'm just kidding. But what does God say? In the book of Romans chapter 3, God says, there is none that doeth good. In my opinion, there's a lot of people not saved, but very good. God's opinion, none good. And then just to make sure that he closes off all of the loopholes, he said, no, not one. Not one. In spite of all their goodness, humanly speaking, those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will die in their sin, and they will be forever separated from the glories of God's heaven, and they will be forever consigned to suffer the torments of a burning hell. We're out of time, and we will stop here, but let me simply say that just as surely as there is a place of eternal joy called heaven, there is also a place of eternal suffering and eternal torment called hell. I wish it were not so. I wish the false teachers were right. But the truth of the matter is, according to the Scriptures, hell is a reality. Hell is a reality. And the only thing that will determine whether we go to hell or whether we go to heaven is going to be repenting of our sin and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when we consider the two eternal destinations that are before us, the wise man, the wise woman, the wise teenager, will be diligently striving to make sure that they're on that narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray.